good morning, everyone here. We're blessed to be here for the ending of 2017 and looking at 2018 coming our way. And many in all of our lives, I'm sure we can look back and see changes that took place. And some were painful, some were good, some were a great blessing. But we're blessed and gracious that God has given His grace to let us to be here again. So we will read a few scriptures here that I was looking at this morning concerning old things that pass away and new things that are coming our way. And these are from ESV version of the Bible. In Jesus' name, we'll read these. The 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Isaiah writes, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Matthew writes, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And then in Romans, the 23rd chapter, we see, "Besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy." Then in Hebrews 10, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And then one more, 2 Peter 2. "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Amen. Those are wonderful scriptures. And maybe comment briefly that as I look even back over the year that has passed by behind me, I don't really want to dwell on it too much. I want to look ahead to a new period in my life, I would call it. But as I was meditating on that, I realized that that's how it is every morning with each one of us. That in spite of our imperfection, our mistakes, and our sins that we have done the day before, we must arise each morning right and righteous through Christ standing. That is amazing. That He suffered all those things, suffered the penalty for our imperfections, our mistakes, our sins, so that we could arise victorious in Him, as I read here. His divine power has granted to us all things. Let's rejoice in that today as we go even from this place, maybe to another day of grace. We don't know how many days we have. So let us give thanks for these wonderful blessings. Father, as we behold these, what we have read here, it is hard to add anything to those scriptures and words that you have placed in the hands of old to write for us. Those words that were written in truth and in love, and you have preserved them up until this day for us to have in our midst, telling all about your marvelous love, telling all about how your Son loved us and you loved us, and how you've equipped us to live these last days. We know not how long our days will be individually on this earth, but we do know that when our earthly time ends, our life is just beginning in you, a life of eternity. So we pray that we would grasp these eternal truths in our hearts in this new year as a stepping stone to just meditate upon those things. As I look back even in my life, I find how miserably I have failed in 2017. But I know that your grace covers them all, and that when your blood has been applied, I can only stand here by faith in your sight through what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for myself and for all of us. The most joyous blessing that we can understand is that very fact of how we just celebrated the babe coming and then living to grow to be a man for a short life that impacted the world in such a way that the book that is written about him is that truly is a work of God. So we pray that you would equip our minister today, our brother Jim, that he would be able to give us the words that we need to live yet another day, to understand more closely what you have left for us. I myself am very dull of hearing and dull of understanding, but I know that you can break through all that by your grace. We pray that you will for all of us. Be with the ones that are not able to attend today, and bless them wherever they might be. Give us individually the direction that we each need for this coming year so that we would be able to live as you would have us to live. We ask these things in Jesus' name and pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto each and every one of you. As we look into his word, once again, we'll read a portion of the word from Paul's letter to the Colossians, reading from the third chapter, and we'll read the first 17 verses of Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which we also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wherefore, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, which is a heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify them, for your word is truth. Paul wrote many letters that are recorded in the New Testament. And you are able to see in his letters how much he cares for these people. And he addresses them as saints and faithful brethren in the first chapter. And he speaks of their faith in Christ, and he writes a letter of encouragement and also of some correction as well, because there were some there that had tried to persuade them of the fact that they thought that angels were somehow connected in the creation, and he makes it very clear in the first chapter that all things, that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or. And he says, all things were created by him and for him. And he wanted to make it very clear that Jesus Christ does not share his honor because he is God in the flesh. And we are not to give honor unto the angels as being a part of the creation story that took place, where it is recorded already back in Genesis how the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and he spoke into the darkness, and he was able to cause light to appear. And so we, as we wind down a year on the calendar, we know that the Lord doesn't count time like we do. Peter reminds us in his epistle that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day before the Lord. And he wants to make known with that statement of how much he cares for his people whom he has made, when he said that he is not willing that any would perish, that all would come to the saving faith that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because we know that as we live and look back at the last year, there have been things that have happened that we did not expect would happen. But through all of the disappointments and the difficulties that we experience as people, we can say that God is faithful in all things. And all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. In spite of the discomfort and the pain that we may have experienced when we look back, especially at this time of the year, we remember time spent with loved ones that were close to us. And we know that the Lord has called those people home where they are able to experience time no more. No more pain and no more sorrow, as it is recorded in the book of Revelation. And so as we are addressed here this morning in this chapter, he says, if, and he uses the word if, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And by faith we have been risen with Him, because the body has a sentence of death in it, but we have been raised again to newness of life in Jesus Christ. And it writes about it in the same way that as He was raised, we have been raised with Him. So the power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, it lives within us by faith. And this is the reality that Paul writes about. And he speaks about us being a part of Him and He a part of us. Peter writes about that the divine substance of God has come to live within us. And as we remembered the birth of Jesus Christ and the lowly birth and how the Word became flesh and has dwelt among us, He did it so that we who were without hope would now be able to live with a constant, abiding hope that we have a home that is not made with hands, that is eternal in the heavens. And so then he tells us to seek those things which are above. And it is seeking those things which satisfy the soul. We remember when Jesus met the woman by Jacob's well. He said, "I will give you water that when you drink of it, you will never thirst again." Because she was now able to drink of something that she never imagined could be soul. And we hear of others who have written concerning this, that they desire the word of the Lord more than their natural food, as David writes. And how this word becomes a sweet word to us. Because it's not a word that drives us away or rewards us according to what we deserve. But it's a word that tells us that we are rewarded according to the merits of one who was without sin, who came here, born under the law, born of a woman, and yet we are now able to experience this perfection that comes in Jesus Christ. And so we're able to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. A place of power. A place where this word which he told Peter that he would build his church upon the rock. He said it will not be plucked up or thrown down. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. With all the scary things we hear in the news and all the things if we let our imagination go wild, we can think of all kinds of things to be afraid of. But we know that God, who made this earth out of nothing, by simply speaking his word, it will last as long as he deems it to last. So we have a lot of things that we know from reading the scripture, from being his children, being adopted by him, that helps us each day as we go through life, so that we are invited by Paul to set our affection on things that are above, because that's where Christ sits. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For he says, you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It seems like strange language, doesn't it? When it says our life is hid with Christ in God. But we believe that he has, as the scripture says, in that song it says, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. He hides our substance from that which would harm us, so he is able to protect us. And we are able to see many times how in nature different birds will protect their young. They are hidden underneath the wings of their mom, of the mother bird. And it is a picture to us that we are hid in him. And he continues to protect us as we go through life each day. His protection does not fail us, because the Psalms tell us that he does not slumber, nor does he sleep. He's constantly watching over us. And then he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We know that the Advent season was set up so that we would remember his first coming. But we are living in a type of Advent as we go through life, because we're waiting for him to come and to return, as the scripture tells us, in power and in glory. He will no longer ride into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey like we remember the story of him riding into Jerusalem to be crucified and put to death on a cross. But we will see him come in power and in glory. And it says every eye will see him. Even those who have pierced him will see him. And they will recognize that the one that they rejected is really who he said he was. He was the one that wept over the city of Jerusalem because they did not know the day of their visitation. He is the one that walked on the water when the disciples were in the boat. And he was able to do things that, not for show like we would think, but to manifest his power and strength over all that he had made. And the last enemy that he has overcome, that is written about in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is death. And he has overcome that. And Paul even asked the question there, that if we only believe in Jesus Christ in this life and not in the life that is to come, we are of all people most miserable. We are not people who live just simply with the hope of this life, but we have another hope that is described here by Paul when he says, "He is our life, and he shall appear. We also will appear with him in glory." So then he says, "To mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection," which is another word, is passion, "evil concupiscence," or evil desire, "covetousness," which is idolatry. Put those things to death because they have been crucified with Christ. We are alive in him. And these things are not to reign over us. "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." And then he says, "In the which we also walk sometime when ye lived in them." Paul recognizes that they were a part of his life. They have been a part of our life. But in Jesus Christ, all things have become new. And each day we are renewed in him. It's not a renewing that just took place when we come to realize that, yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm able now to believe that my sin is forgiven in his name and in his blood. But it's each day, even when we don't feel loved or don't feel that we're being forgiven, it does not change the reality of God's divine forgiveness, his love, his imputed righteousness, which is ours each day. And then he says, "Now also put off all these." Anger, he names anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, or railing, filthy communication out of your mouth. "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." And so the reason is, it says, we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So here again he speaks, and we hear this a lot in Paul's letters, put on the armor of light, I believe that was read, one of the scripture readings by Alan, that we would put on that which testifies to us of who Jesus is and how he is a very personal Lord who walks beside us, even when we're not aware of it. Just like when he was walking beside the two that were on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know that it was Jesus. They were downcast. They thought that everything had fallen apart. Their hopes had been dashed. The one they had trusted in had been put to death on a cross, and they thought it was all over. But then when he spoke to them and began to break bread with them, their heart began to burn within them. They then knew that this is Jesus Christ. He did not leave them in their despondent, downcast state, but he came and walked beside them. And this is our Lord, and this is our God. He doesn't leave us, but he is like a caring and loving shepherd who knows the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we go through as people because he was here. He was in all cases, as we're told in the scripture, he was tempted like as we are. There was one remarkable difference. He was without sin. He became sin for us. And the one who, so that we would become the righteousness of God in him. And this is new to us each day. And as we go into the new year, we know that our Lord and our God knows what is going to happen. He knows what's going to happen the rest of this day. We're not able to really know for sure, because we live in a life that has a lot of twists and turns. We just don't know. But we know that his love is not going to leave us. It's not going to forsake us. And we know that he walks with us so that we are able to be renewed, as Paul says, in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This is hard for us sometimes to understand. We think that somehow God probably thinks like we do when it comes to various nationalities of people. But he loves them all the same as he loves us. And we're reminded of that when we read of what Jonah went through as a prophet. He didn't want to go and preach to those people over there, because one thing he had come to find out, he knew that God was a merciful God. And he didn't want to share that mercy with those Ninevite people. But God looks at things above what we do, because he sees us all as his creation. The one that he has tenderly and graciously made, they've all been engraved in his hand, and he doesn't want to forget them, because he died for the whole world, it tells us in the scripture. There isn't one person that can say, well, he didn't really die for me. But all have been engraved in his hand when he was nailed there on a cross. And so as his creation, who've been made after his image, he doesn't see us as different people. But those who believe, those who trust in him, he has become a part of us. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision. We know that Abraham believed God long before he was circumcised. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Sometimes we would like to place demands on people. Well, you can be a believer if you do this. And we have our ingrown checklist, you might say, of things that we would like to see. The Lord doesn't do that. And we know this was something that happened here even with the Colossian people. It says that let no man rob you of your reward in the 18th verse of the second chapter. In a voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered and knit together, increased with increase of God. Wherefore, he says, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Because there were those that wanted people to live a very strict life. thinking in that way they would somehow be a little closer to God. But it doesn't really work that way. It never has worked. For we know that God was in Christ, and he has reconciled the world unto himself, and he doesn't impute our trespasses. He wants us to believe this word, because as John writes in the end of his gospel, he says, there were many things written in the Bible that could have been written, but they haven't been written. But he said, these are written for this purpose, that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing, we have life through his name. This is what John wanted the people to understand. And this is what they had come to understand. And when John writes in his epistle that everyone who has this hope is pure, and he has purified himself even as he is pure, he knew what he was talking about. He had come to understand that the Lord who fulfilled all things in his behalf, the Lord who appeared before him in the upper chamber as he was there behind the closed doors with the rest of the disciples, he came with a message of peace be unto you. And he wanted them to bring that message of peace to a world that would need it. And this is what the disciples did, beginning at Jerusalem. They began to preach repentance and remission of sins, because they knew that that was able to bring the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. Put on, therefore, he says, as elect of God, holy and beloved. He uses the term here, bowels of mercy, but it means a heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Alan read there from the second letter of Peter about adding to our faith virtue and kindness, love, and all those things. Because that's how the people in the world are able to see what we are. They may not pick up the scripture and read it, but they remember how they've been treated by those who are believers. That sticks in their mind. Because the Lord has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You know, we haven't been given that kind of authority. We are not to use our liberty, as Peter writes, for a cloak of maliciousness. But we are to use our liberty to receive this gospel in its fullness, that our joy might be full, and that we would be able to go into the new year knowing that this Lord was with us in the past year. He will be with us in the year to come. And then if anybody has a complaint or have a quarrel, he says, forgive one another, forbearing one another. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I believe we remain sort of as people who need this. Because when someone crosses our path, it doesn't seem to matter how young or old we are. It makes things kind of go crossways in our life for a while. It takes us a while to get over the things that happen. But Paul knew that and understood that. And he says, if any has a complaint, he says, if any man have a quarrel, he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's good instruction. It takes away the fuel of anger and resentment, because it's good for us to be reminded of where we have come from, what we would be without the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Where would our life be if grace had not come down from above, born of a woman, born under the law? Where would we be? We need the grace of God as we go on from faith to faith. Above all these things, he says, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And he describes all of the characteristics of love as we're able to read it in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But he had come to know that these are the things that God wants us to dwell with. It's a part of setting our affection above, to let these things be a part of us, in spite of our often rebellious hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Well, we know that there's a lot we can be thankful for. When we look back, there is much to be thankful for. Some of it we just take it for granted each day. We take it for granted that our cupboards are full of food. We take it for granted that we're able to breathe and have life. And we're just used to the things that happen automatically. But we are told to be thankful for these things. To be thankful that God remembers our frame, as the psalmist said. He knows what we are made of. He knows that we're dust. He is a gracious God. He is not a God that judges like man does. There was a time in David's life, I believe it was when he counted the people, and God was not happy with what he did. And David said, I would rather be judged of God than of man. He says, man's judgment is very severe, but God's judgment is not. Here, because he knew. He had come to understand the mercy of the Lord. And he writes about it, I believe it's in the 32nd Psalm, where he speaks about the mercy of the Lord, and the goodness of God, and many of the other psalms as well. Let the word of Christ and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So he's letting us know a good way to end the old year and to start the new year. That we would sing not with malice, not with wrath and anger, as he describes there in the 8th verse, but to sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. May God add his blessing to the reading and speaking of his word. We thank you, Lord, for your word, the word that is a light onto our pathway and a lamp onto our feet. It helps as we go through a dark world, because you are the light of the world and you continue to show the way that leads to that place that is eternal. And for this we thank you. And now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.